to thank you for being with us today. Today we'll be in the book of Luke for just a few moments. I know this isn't sort of going along with Mission 119. We'll jump into that next week again. We do want to remind you, if you need the packets for Mission 119, they're out in the lobby. That gives you the CDs and the Bible study as we work through the whole scriptures together. But today in Luke chapter 9, if you have your Bibles with you or your phones or your tablets, look at the sixth verse. It says this in the Word of God, "So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere." Let's ask the Lord to open our hearts today. Father, as we come before you, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's truth for us. We thank you that it's real, and it's meant to impact us and change us and fill us more, not just with knowledge, but your heart and mind. And Father, I ask for the next few moments that you would speak to us afresh and anew. I ask that I would become less and you would become more. Father, I ask that you would put in us, by the power of your Spirit, a wholly new passion for this community and for your kingdom and for Mercer County and the world beyond. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is We Are Sunday, and for some of you who went to Penn State, you're thinking we're going to talk about them. We're not going to talk about them today. We're going to let that go, and we're going to take some time to remember and celebrate and review our mission and our purpose. Our overall mission as a congregation, if you'll remember, is to love God and love others. It's the Great Command and the Great Commission, and that's sort of the big picture. That's the umbrella that goes over all that we do and all that we say. But I think sometimes we need even an everyday picture that we can grab onto. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in these next few moments. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to love God and love others in our zip code and in our community. And one of the reasons why I wanted to show you that video this morning, that 12 or 14 minutes, because it gives us a bigger vision of just Greenville and Mercer County. But literally, as our denomination reaches out all over the world, as we partner with other groups, we're seeing God do amazing and wonderful things. And you're a part of that. And we're a part of that. And we need to see that every so often. But for the next few moments, I want us to look at our own community and our own congregation. And if you had your inserts, I want you to take it out. This is an insert on who we are as the body of Christ and what we're a part of. But open that first page, and it says the church family. And according to our own vision and dreams, we want to build spiritual growth within the church family, to support and encourage healthy families, to know and understand and apply God's word, to develop a healthy intergenerational relationships, and to live godly lives with a sense of community. When you think of our community and ministry outreach, we want to lead people to Christ. For every one of us to use their gifts and meet the needs of this community, we want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And for Greenville Alliance Church, we want to be viewed as an effective witness for Christ, that people know who we are, not just because of our address, but because simply they've run into each and every one of you, and they say, these are people who follow after God. And so look at those little squares and notice where we're involved and who we're involved with and the community events we're involved with, and keep that in mind. And then missions. We want to expand the kingdom of God. We want to provide financial support to the Great Commission Fund, to provide support for individual missionaries and international workers, to expose the church body to missions, to remind ourselves that it's bigger than just us, and to provide individuals with the opportunity to use their spiritual gifts through short-term missions. Some of those that we are going to continue to work on, but notice those squares once again and see where God is working. And one of the things I want you to understand, I want you to see how we're engaged inside and outside our walls. I agree with our president that said, our walls are just to keep us warm, but they're never to keep people out. And so I want you to take a few moments and notice how we're partnering with God and others and how we do that. As a church, we want to come alongside of other churches and community groups. And we're not called to compete with them, but we're called to complete them. And even this morning, I want you to notice a new tool to help our community. For years, you and I have been involved with Good Shepherd and Salvation Army, but honestly, it's been sort of hit or miss. I mean, every so often at Thanksgiving, we say, bring in some soup or bring in some potatoes or bring in some canned goods, but we want to get more regular with that. And so in the lobby there, as you leave, there's going to be an opportunity for you to pick up a bag for the Salvation Army. This is going to be a monthly thing. You can pick the items up. I don't know about you, but how many of you remember what you're supposed to get? this is sort of a hint. If you don't remember anything, peanut butter is always good. So pick one of these up and be a part of these ministries. There are hundreds of people in our community right now that are hungry and need meals. In fact, one of the things that we've been aware of these last few weeks as a church, do you know that we have homeless kids in Greenville that are coming to school and they have no homes and they have no water and they have no heats and they have no food? That's a new thing for us as a congregation and a community, and we need to be involved with them. So this is a simple way for you to put your love of Christ into action. So I want to challenge you to be a part of that, and I want to remind you that sometimes it's not inventing a new thing, it's just doing an old thing better than we've ever done it before. And so I want you to look at that passage of Scripture again. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. What's amazing about this passage is that Jesus has begun to teach and equip his disciples. In fact, if you go through the rest of the Gospels, it starts off with 12 people and then 72 people and then 120 people. And then at the very end, he commissions each and every one of us to be a part of his ministry, to preach and to teach and to heal the people that we come in contact with. And for a lot of us, we don't think that we know enough or we haven't had enough training. And yet, one of the interesting facts is, how many of you have been at church for 2 years? How many of you have been to church longer than 2 years? 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, your whole life? Do you realize that the average pastor in almost every other world nation doesn't have the training that you have after 2 years in sitting in a church listening to sermons? You are more than equipped by God to have a ministry within this community. And so in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking and he says, I've empowered you, I've given you authority, I've commissioned you to go out with life and ministry, I've filled you with the Holy Spirit, just as you and I as followers of Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says that he always equips us for what he's calling us to do. And then it's even more amazing, because if you look at verses 4 and 5, it tells them literally that they don't have to be prepared. Well, they need to be prepared, but it says, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, nor bread, nor money, no extra tunic. Wherever you enter a house, enter in and be there until you leave. Literally, he's trying to convince those 12 that I will equip you for life. I will give you the power. I will give you the strength. I will give you the insight. And what does it say there in verse 6? And so when they heard this commission, they stopped and decided that they needed another seminar. Or does it say, you know what, I heard the commission, but I think we need to have another prayer meeting? That would be a wonderful way to start this ministry off. That's not what it says there, is it? It says really simply, so they set out. They literally put it into practice. They heard Jesus is saying, I want you to leave and go out and go into your neighborhoods and go into your homes and go into the villages, and I want you to preach the gospel, and I want you to bring healing to everyone that you meet. And they didn't hesitate. They jumped right out. They set out and went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So as you hear the word of God this morning, as you recognize who we are as a congregation and as a people, the ministry is still the same. God has called us to be the people that go out and preach the gospel. And before you say that you can't do that, I think you need to recognize and realize that preaching has had or became a singular definition. Nowadays, when you hear the word preaching, almost every church person does, they have an image like this, which is what? I stand up front, you sit there, listen dutifully. I know some of you say you're on your phone looking up the scriptures, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't make those noises when you're doing that. But and then you sit still for about 25 to 35, or if it's really long, 45 minutes, and you're hoping it'll end sooner than that. But that's what preaching is all about. But do you realize in Jesus' day when they sent out those 12, there were no churches, there were no congregations, there weren't pews that you could sit in. Preaching had a whole lot more to do with simply communicating and telling people what Jesus had done for you. It's literally this idea here is that you and I are to be the people that have stories to tell, that we begin to explain why Jesus came and how come there was an impact and what he's done in your life, and it's letting people know that Jesus is for them and not against them. It literally says that you and I are to be the people that act and smell and walk and live like Jesus did in everyday situations, that we're to have a meaningful impact no matter where we find ourselves or no matter what homes we're involved with or what jobs that we have. And for most believers, and I think especially believers that have been believers for a long time, we have this idea that the gospel is literally these three things. In the church that I was raised up in, the gospel was all about getting people to behave right. If we could clean them up and make them fly right, that was the best thing that we could offer them. And then after they've cleaned up for a little while, you ask them to come and you ask them to believe in who Jesus is. And then after that, you ask them to behold the beauty and the glory and the goodness of God. And see, I think a lot of you were raised in that tradition because if you talk to your friends and you invite them to come to church, one of the things that you'll hear is, when I get my life together, then I'll come. Or I've had people say things like, if I walk through the doors, the ceiling would collapse. Because they have this image of God, that God's just about making them fly right and be better people and be more respectable in the community. Do you realize that Jesus never preached a gospel like that? In fact, anytime you go through the Gospels and see how Jesus began to share the gospel, it was all about letting people see the glory of God. It was all about Jesus talking about his Father and how amazing his dad was, and that he was a God that was with them and not against them. Every place that he went, he began with that story. Do you know who Jesus is? And what's amazing, if you look at the people that Jesus surrounded himself with, they were not the normal people of the day. They weren't the religious leaders. They weren't the Pharisees. They weren't the people that had their lives together. It was prostitutes and drunkards and business people that were just trying to make it through. It was broken people and people in hard and difficult places. They came and they swarmed him, because he was the first person that ever talked about God in a way that made sense, that they felt like they could have a part of. And so that's part of the giving the gospel, is getting people to see how good our God is. And then after they begin to see the glory of God and they begin to believe that God is for them and against them, there's that next step of believing that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then it's at that point that transformation changes and behavior changes and the directions of life changes, because when people begin to see that he's good and people begin to see that he's the Savior, then the next thing that's going to happen in their lives is peace and hope and obedience is going to happen, and lives are going to be transformed. That's one of the reasons we as a church want to be involved in so many different things, so that people get to hear the gospel in a way that makes sense to them in different settings. So I want to challenge you to be a people that begin to preach the gospel in your village and in your neighborhoods and in your homes and in your places of work, by beginning to share with people how good our Savior is. Can you tell those stories of how God intervened and provided and took care of you? That's what people are longing to hear. And so there's a second thing that the scripture says that Jesus asked his followers to do. And again, it's one of those things that you may sit there and think, I can't do that. I hope I've convinced you that you can begin to preach and share with people who Jesus is. But this one goes even a little bit farther for us. It says that they literally began healing people everywhere. It literally says that they healed people on a regular basis. But before you tell me you can heal, first of all, I want to tell you that's probably a good place to start, because you can't heal people, but Jesus can, and he has called you to be instruments of his healing. But it's a whole lot more than just sickness. We have this tendency to believe, especially if you've been in the church for a long time, that healing is about, well, you know what, if you come across a blind person and you pray for them and they see, well, that's healing. Or, you know, if you really came across someone who was paralyzed and you prayed for them and you anointed them with heal and they got up and began to run around, well, that's healing. Or if you came across a dead person and laid hands on them and prayed for them and they got up. How many of you think that would be really cool? That's healing. But again, that's such a sliver. We need a broader definition of healing within our culture, because healing is all about a restoration of a whole life. It's physical, and I believe that God does that. I've seen him do amazing things, raising people up that shouldn't have been raised up. But do you realize that there's also so many different brands of healing that our community needs? Do you also recognize that there's emotional healing, relational healing? There's healing that gives people a future and a hope, even in the midst of brokenness. Healing also deals with the idea that we're to be a people that literally share with people in such a way that they understand that there is freedom, and bondages can be broken, and addictions can be changed, and marriages can be restored, and kids can come back again. That there's freedom in changing people's hearts with the good news of Jesus Christ. The song that we just sang, we're children of God. We don't have to live in fear. And yet every single day on every media outlet, we're told we're to be fearful of our neighbors and immigrants and people and government and everything. But as followers of Christ, we don't need to live in that place. And I think sometimes bringing healing within our community is literally pursuing people in friendship and being Christ in everyday situations. And sometimes it's helping to feed a family. And other times it's filling a need that your neighbor might have. In fact, a couple of months ago, it was really interesting. I was walking by our neighbor across the street, and his son was there, and he looked up at me, and it's really interesting. Have you ever had a sort of a neighbor? They're good people. We sort of are getting to know them, but it's pretty much like the Jordan River, the road. I mean, you wave at them every so often. And so I'm walking by, and their son looks up and goes, "Hey, you," because we're really close. He says, "Look, my dad's lawnmower broke down. Can we rent yours?" I thought, I've never heard that before. And so I looked at him and said, "Hey, you can just use it." He goes, "Really, you won't charge us?" I said, "No, just go ahead, use it." So this last summer, it's been really cool because, you know, I finish our yard, and then I bring it and park it in his yard, and he takes care of all of that stuff, and we have this relationship that's starting to grow and to build, and it's really, really exciting. You know, midway through that time, he said, "Look, from now on, if you need anything fixed on this garden tractor, I'll take care of it for you. You don't have to worry about it." I said, "That is so cool. Thank you." And so every week we just sort of trade back and forth. And a couple of weeks ago, I got to give him some brown eggs. And I said, "Do you eat eggs?" He goes, "Yeah, I really do." He says, "What color are they?" He said, they're brown. He says, "Good, my kids won't eat brown eggs. They only eat white eggs." And so he was really, really happy. You know, I was thinking I should just tell him it's the issue of the color of the chicken, but I let that all go. And then literally this yesterday, Friday afternoon, I was trimming stuff on the edge of our property, and his car backed up, and I said, "I heard this, 'Hey, neighbor.'" I've been there 8 years. I've never heard him say, "Hey, neighbor." It's opening those types of doors. It seems like such a simple thing, but maybe it will open up the opportunity to share who Jesus is. Because I think Jesus would let somebody borrow their yarn tractor anytime they needed it. Don't you? But we live in a culture where people are isolated and lonely and really aren't even sure how to make relationships any longer. I mean, if you notice, you walk through the mall, most people are looking at their phones. If you go to McDonald's and see a bunch of teenagers there, most of them are looking at their phones, texting their friends who are next door to them. Or so it seems. So part of healing is teaching people even how to have friendships once again. Do you realize that there are so few people that have hope in our community and beyond? And Jesus says we're to be the people that bring restoration and hope to each and every person that we come in contact with. Do you realize that we have lost the reality of relationships nowadays? We don't really think they're that important, but do you realize every single one of us needs relationships and friendships? Even within the body of Christ, we need that. It was a number of years ago, I had a friend that was a pastor, and he was at a 7-Eleven, which is what they have if you're in other parts of the country. it's similar to sheets, let's put it that way. And he walked in, and he had bought his stuff, and he just looked up at the cashier and said, "God bless you." He said, "I didn't think anything of it. I just said, 'God bless you.' That's sort of how I deal with things." And I walked out, and I looked back, and there were tears running down this cashier's face. So he walked back. He said, what's going on?" And he simply said, "I have never had anyone ask God to bless me." And it opened up an opportunity. Do you realize that we live in a community where there are so few people that can imagine that God will want to bless them? Because all they've heard is that God is ticked off and angry and upset with them. It says, "So they set out from that village and went village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere." And I really do believe that what God has called us to be and do as a people is that we begin to not only love God and love others, but it needs to come down to the practice of sharing Jesus and healing people when we come in contact with them. That people are better off because we've been there as if we weren't. And I want you to challenge you to be a part of those two things. And at lunch in the potluck, you're going to see tables around the outside of that dinner. And I want you to go and look at those tables and see all the different ministry opportunities, not only in our church, but in our community, so that people get to see and hear what the gospel is all about. Literally, we're to be a people that set out. Not have another seminar, not have another prayer meeting, but we begin to understand that God has called us and empowered us and equipped us through the Holy Spirit to do just those things. And some of them are simple. So I'd like to do something a little bit different. This last week or a couple weeks ago, I contacted Amazon because you can buy the whole world on an Amazon, apparently even cars now. And I got these little vials. It's not essential oil. Well, maybe it is. It just doesn't smell like it. It's olive oil. Literally in the scriptures that olive oil is a symbol of God's healing. That anytime there is sickness, we are called to be a people that anoint people with God's oil and ask God to do great and amazing things. And I wanted to give each family and individual here the opportunity to be the representatives of Christ. And the reason why I'm handing it out like this is because now you're going to have to stand up, turn to the person next to you, and talk to them as you grab your little oil. It's part of building relationships. So you want to take one of those and pass it on? Say hi to Zach. That would be good. Maybe I'll make you all uncomfortable and say you have to greet one another. Because that's what healing does. And I want you to take that little vial of oil, and I want you to put it on your dashboard of your car or on your kitchen window or someplace that you'll see it every single day. So as you head out in the day, you begin to recognize and know that you have been called to do two things today, and it's not just simply make a living. You've been called to preach the gospel with words and actions, but you've been also called to bring healing to people's hearts and homes. And it will be really, really, really challenging to do. And I'm not making this as an easy type of thing. It can be scary. It can be upsetting. And people aren't really sure what to do with people that are kind to them anymore. But what if we begin to be the people that are? That we would be the people that begin to share and heal in Jesus' name and set out to be used of God. And for some of us, it may start by simply coming before him each morning and saying, "Lord, let your reign and rule be on me. Show me what that looks like and open my mouth at appropriate times." Because I believe the Gospels say that's who we're called to be. And I think we're called to be a people who are learning what that looks like in our church and in our community. But I think most of all, it's what the body of Christ has always been about. And sometimes we forget that fact. So let's pray together. And then celebrate in the ALC. Father, we come before you and we are amazed that you would hinge everything on a people like us. Because when we talk about preaching and healing, most of us think that isn't something that I'm able to do. We have this understanding that we don't have enough knowledge or we don't have enough power or we're not smart enough or wise enough or we haven't studied enough of the Word of God, and yet nowhere in Scripture is there anybody that's having to work all of those things out before you use them. And Father, I'm asking that today we would do these two things really well in the days ahead, and you would teach us what that looks like. that we would share stories of Jesus, how you've worked in us and on us and through us, and how you've changed our own homes, and how even when you haven't healed, you've made a way. And Lord, that we would be a people that begin to offer hope to so many people that are stressed and fearful and anxious and looking for more and yet not even know where to look. Lord, would you make us a people of joy, that we may display Christ well. And then, Father, I'm asking that you would broaden our idea of what healing looks like, and that we would be the people that decide that healing is more than just raising the dead or letting a blind person see, but healing is coming alongside people and being friends, being chosen family, getting involved in the messiness of our lives and sharing even when it hurts, so that people know that they have a God that is with them and not against them. Father, would you allow us to display you so well that people say there must be a God, and I want to know who he is. And Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do, and I thank you for Greenville Alliance Church and the congregation that you have given us right here, because you have equipped them and empowered them, and the Holy Spirit dwells upon them. And Father, would you tweak our ideas and our thoughts, that we would do what this verse says, and our neighbors would change, and our spouses would change, and our kids would change, and our community would change, and everybody would know. It's not because we are so good, but it's because our God is so great. Father, would you lead us now? In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen and amen. Wanted to do something a little bit different. If you can stand for the benediction. See, I went over so you guys would be more hungry for the potluck. I've written down the benediction because I think there truly are blessings. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, may you know Jesus knows you and likes you. May you share with your people and friends. May you believe and experience God's empowering for your life and for your ministry. May you pursue people like Jesus has pursued you. And may God fill us with his love to be relational. And all of God's people said, amen. Walk with him and be a blessing.